we're going to look at a different character. He's from the Bible, the Apostle Paul. Anybody ever, you're familiar with the Apostle Paul and how his life seemed to never go as planned. And so we're going to look at an example from him. We're going to be in the book of Acts chapter 27 and 28. Acts chapter 27 and 28. And so here we go. How many of you guys know that, like, as believers, things don't always go as planned, right? Like, did Thanksgiving go as planned, as you had scripted it? I mean, you came up with the details. You said, so-and-so is going to sit here, and we're going to eat this, and everything's just going to go perfectly. And I'm one of those kind of people that, you know, I'm very much like that. Whenever things don't quite go my way, it upsets me, right? It kind of like, it rattles me. Things have to go this certain way, right? And anyway, things don't always go as planned, even for believers. We can be in the will of God. We can be doing the things that he has called us to do. We can be in the will of God. And in fact, the Apostle Paul was in the will of God. We know this. Because he in Romans chapter 1, he says this. He says, whenever he's writing to the Romans, he's expressing a desire to be with them. And in this desire, he says, first of all, he says, I, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, I'm called to be an apostle. I'm set apart for the gospel of God. And so one of the very first things that we see is that Paul is set apart. And so we know that this calling to go to Rome, this aspiration to visit Rome, it's not only of his own doing, it is because God has placed it there. God has placed this desire inside of his heart to go to Rome. So even though the desire is from God, and even though Paul was set apart for the things of God, even still, things don't go as planned. And you can be in the will of God. And how do we know whether or not we're in the will of God for our lives? You know, so when we look at Paul and we look at the things that he was facing, we know that his motives were pure in wanting to go to Rome. In fact, in verse 11 of chapter 1 in Romans, it says, "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine." So his motives were pure in wanting to go to Rome. It was to be a benefit to someone else. It was wanting to help them, to encourage them. And so one way as believers to determine whether or not we are in the will of God is to see whether or not our motives are pure. Are we doing it to help others? Are we doing it for selfish gain? That's always a number one key indicator that we are, in fact, in the will of God. So Paul, his motives are pure. He has his desire to go to Rome. Anybody ever desired or aspired to go to Rome? I know my wife has, and there may be other people in this room who wants to go to Rome and wants to see all that Rome has to offer. But Paul, he was going not on a luxury vacation, as we would imagine, but he was wanting to go there on mission from God to declare the good news of the gospel to the Jews and to the Gentiles. So again, his motives are pure. The reason for him going is all God-centered. It is God's purpose that Paul would go to Rome, but yet the way that he would get there came out to be very unplanned, amen? And so along the way, as believers in Christ, know this, that God is going to bring you from where you are to where he has promised that you will be, but the journey might go unplanned. And probably the journey will go unplanned. You can almost guarantee that there will be steps along the way that are just surprising to you, even as a believer in the will of God for your life. Because how many of you guys know that our thoughts are a certain way, but God's thoughts are totally different, right? In fact, the book of Isaiah chapter 55, 8 and 9, we see this, say the scripture all the time, but it's worth repeating. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." And so this journey that Paul would take would, it's very surprising, by the way. He could have never planned for this. He could have never anticipated this journey that he would embark on. And so this journey, in fact, he says this in Romans 1:10. He says, whenever he's writing to him, he says that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. This was his hope that, hey, my goal is to get to you. He said, somehow, by God's will. Whenever you say somehow, by God's will, I mean, expect the unexpected in your life. Amen. But anyway, we're going to begin this journey. It takes place after Paul's third missionary journey. And so one journey would consist of leaving the Jerusalem area and traveling along the Mediterranean coast, preaching the gospel, and then heading back to Jerusalem or that area, and then heading back out. And so after his third missionary journey, he finds himself in Jerusalem, and the Jews were very jealous of Paul. They couldn't stand Paul because, again, he was telling people about Jesus, and they couldn't accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior because they had nailed him to a cross. So the Jews, Paul, so they incite a riot against him, and he is arrested at this moment, and he's held captive for nearly 2 years. Now, again, this is quite unexpected. I mean, he's out here doing the work of the Lord, and all of a sudden, he's arrested for preaching the gospel. Thankfully, right now, we have the freedom to declare the word of God. We have the freedom of assembly to come together to talk about God's word. But if that were not the case, would you still be solid in your faith? Paul, he's arrested for no crime other than preaching the word of God. And we find that his voyage begins after he realizes there's a plot against his life. And so he, you know, again, by the Jews, so he's in jail. There's a plot against his life. And so he appeals to Caesar. Now, little did he know this was all God's doing. This was God's way of bringing him to Rome. He didn't see it, but he appeals to Caesar. And by appealing to Caesar, he now has this boat that's lined up to bring him there. And so because as a Roman citizen, he used his right to appeal, therefore he must go to Rome and bring his case to Caesar. So we find this journey begins in the fall of 59 AD. That's quite some time ago. And it lasts till 60 AD, which was also quite some time ago. So he begins this trip. And I have a little map for you guys, if we can put that map up. We're looking at verse 1. First of all, it says, Paul boards a ship that was sent to Rome to appeal to Caesar. We see in verse 1. And it was decided that we should sail for Italy. They delivered Paul and some other prisoners to a centurion of the Augustan cohort named Julius. And embarking in a ship of the Adrian, which was about to sail to the ports along the coast of Asia, we put to sea accompanied by Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica. So one of the first things we see in this journey is that Paul had to embark. Paul had to be willing to step into the boat, if you will. And many times God will cause you, he'll bring you to a point of decision where you have to step into the boat. In order for Paul to get from where he was to where he was going, he had to take a step of faith. Now, of course, Paul's situation, he didn't really have a choice. He was a prisoner, and so he had to get in the boat, right? But otherwise, most of the time, the way God operates in our life, he'll bring you to a point, and it's up to you to make that decision. Are you going to step out in faith? Are you going to get into the boat that he has provided? Or are you going to travel on God's plan and God's path for your life, or will you not? Now, Paul obviously had a will. If he didn't choose to get into the boat, he probably would have been stabbed with a sword. But, I mean, our consequences may not be that dire. But at the same time, he's bringing you to a decision in your life. Will you be willing to step into the boat? He continues, and we're just going to kind of jump along here in verse 5. It says, and when we had sailed across the open sea along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we came to Myra in Lycia. There the centurion found a ship of Alexandria sailing for Italy and put us on board. We sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty off Cydnus. And as the wind did not allow us to go further, we sailed under the lee of Crete off Salmon. So a couple of things happened just in these two verses that really are unplanned events that take place in Paul's life. First of all, he changes ship. And so perhaps whenever he first embarked in his journey, this is the boat that's going to take me from point A all the way to point B. You know, we do that as well. We think, this is the career that's going to really get me to where I want to be. It's going to really get me the money that I want to make. It's going to get me that house I want to buy. It's going to get me that car I want to drive. My wife wants a Lexus. That ain't happening. It's just not happening. Amen. So sometimes the Lord will say, that ship got you from there to here, but now it's time to get into another ship. Maybe the Lord will cause a career change or bring something else along your path and say, now I want you to trust me again and step into this ship. You took the first step of faith and you were obedient and it's got you so far, but now I need you to take another step and get into the next boat that God would have for your life. Ultimately, you're headed to Rome. Ultimately, you're headed to the destination that God would have for you, but now he's asking you to trust him even furthermore. Because here's the thing, he doesn't want you trusting in the ship that got you there, right? He wants you trusting in him. And so sometimes he will move that ship out of your life and bring you into another ship so where you have to trust him again and again and again and again. Amen? So the first thing, he experiences a change of ship. It also says that the journey was very slow in verse 7. We sailed slowly for a number of days and arrived with difficulty. So it's slower than expected. It's difficult, more difficult than expected. It's requiring more work than anticipated. Anybody ever been there? You know that God has a plan and a calling for your life. And it just seems to be unfolding much more slower than what you thought it would take, right? You thought by now, man, I would be, a beacon to the nations or whatever it is that you're hoping for, whatever it is that you're aspiring to be. Perhaps by now, I thought as a pastor we'd have a church of 500. I mean, I don't know. But, it takes place, it's slower than expected, And so God's like, will you still trust me if it's not going as fast as you anticipated that it would be? We have this Burger King mentality, right? We want it our way, and we want it right away, right? I order my food, I get my food, I eat my food. That's what I want. And a lot of times God's like, no, I'm going to take you down this journey. It's going to be a lot slower so that I can develop in you what you need. I'm going to develop some character in you. I'm going to show you how to rough out these seas. I'm going to show you what it means, to be able to trust him even whenever the storms get difficult, right? Even whenever the winds are turbulent and all these things, you're going to learn to trust me. And so a lot of times God is developing us and he's working in us. And we don't see it. We want it right now. God, give it to me right now. God, give me that job right now. Give me that career right now. He's like, no, I have you where I need you. You're heading there. You're heading to the destination. It just might be a little slower than anticipated. Amen? So the other things that we see is that it was difficult. I mean, that it will be difficult. Whatever it is that God has called you to, it's going to be difficult to get there. It's not easy being a pastor. It's not. It's not easy being in ministry, put it that way. It's going to be difficult. You're going to experience different things. You have to deal with people, and I love people. But sometimes people can, really bring you to the edge. you know what I'm saying? Anybody can relate to this. So a lot of times it's going to be difficult. But are you willing to push through? Are you willing to trust God even whenever it is difficult? When things are not moving as fast as you thought it would move, and when things are more difficult than what you had planned for them to be. Verse 9 says, Since much time has passed and the voyage was now dangerous because even the fast was already over, Paul advised them, saying, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo in the ship, but also of our lives." But the centurion paid more attention to the pilot and to the owner of the ship than what Paul had to say. Ever been in that situation? So not only is the voyage going more slowly and more difficult than expected, now you're stuck on the ship with a bunch of people who won't even listen to you, right? And so the centurion, he's having none of it. Like, I don't care what you say, Paul. You're just a prisoner. I'm going to listen to the captain. I'm going to listen to someone else. And maybe you're in a situation that is beyond your control. You have this boss who just overlooks you, and you've been working, you've been diligent, you've been showing up to work on time, and you've been giving it your very best, but you just feel overlooked. And this circumstance is just out of your control, and so as it was with Paul. There's nothing he can do about them not listening to him. He was a prisoner on the boat. And so sometimes we're going to face situations in our life that are just beyond our control, that we have no control over. But even in those moments, are we willing to trust God? Are we willing to say, "God, I know that you have a plan for my life. I know without a shadow of a doubt you're going to bring me from here to that point over there. I don't know how it's going to look. I don't know what I'm going to experience along the way, but I know that you are faithful and that you will bring me there." Amen. So the next thing is that because they didn't listen to him, because they disregarded what Paul had to say, they find themselves in some trouble. And so the winds, the storms begin to kick up. In verse 13, it says, "Now, when the south wind blew gently, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, they weighed anchor and sailed along Crete, close to the shore. But soon a tempestuous wind called the northeaster struck down from the land. And when the ship was caught and could not face the wind, we gave way to it and were driven along." Verse 20 says, "When neither sun nor stars appeared for many days and no tempest lay on us, all hope of our being saved was at last abandoned." So Paul, again, he's in a boat with people who are not listening to him. He has no control over the situation, yet he finds himself in the very same boat with all these people who have lost hope. And this is good as believers, because God will place you in situations where people around you have lost hope. But as a believer, we are to never lose hope. We are to never abandon our faith, because we know that even in the midst of that storm, that God is with us and that he is for us and that he's going to pull us through. He's going to see us to the end. Amen. And so never are we to be without hope as the non-believers are. But here we see that they were driven along for 14 days. That is a long time. Anybody ever been like in the open sea? And then all of a sudden the waves start to kick up. It can get scary out there. I mean, like really quickly. And you think, "My God, I'm going to die. This is the day I'm going to meet Jesus." You know? And so they were driven along, just gone. You know, just the wind doing whatever it wants to do and the waves doing whatever it wants to do. And it was beyond their control. The next thing that we see in verse 41 is that Paul warns them and says, "Look, we're going to lose this ship. It's going to be shipwrecked." In verse 41, it says, "But striking a reef, they ran the vessel aground. The bow stuck and remained immovable, and the stern was being broke up by the surf. The soldiers' plan was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim away and escape. But the centurion, wishing to save Paul, kept them from carrying out the plan. He ordered those who could swim to jump overboard first and make for land, and the rest on planks or pieces of the ship. And so it was that all were brought to safety." So Paul, before this, he tells them, "Look, this is what's going to happen. The Lord, the angel of the Lord appeared to me in a vision, in a dream, and he said, you will make it." Now, I believe, sometimes we don't realize what God is doing behind the scenes. We don't realize what God is doing in other people's lives. We see the ship, we see the waves, we see the wind. But because they had disregarded his words at first and suffered the consequences thereof, When he begins to speak of greater things, of angels and God's promises that we're going to make it, guess what? They were willing to listen at that moment. They're like, okay, you got my attention now. And you never know that the lives that you will impact whenever you just begin to believe and you begin to remain hopeful. Because oftentimes what will happen is that God will bring those who are around you into desperate situations where they have no more trust in their own abilities to navigate as these sailors did. And they say, and you are there as a believer and you rise up with faith and you begin to declare the word of God in that situation. And then things begin to change, not only in your life, but begins to change in their life as well. And so God has placed you on assignment, wherever it is that you find yourself, for a particular reason. And you remain hopeful whenever everyone else has lost all hope. And that's where we find the Apostle Paul. He's like, I'm going to continue to trust in my God. He has been faithful to me thus far. He will continue to be faithful to me time and time again. And when everyone else has lost hope, we will be the beacons of light who rises up and say, my hope and my trust is in my God. And he will see me through. Amen. He's going to bring me from point A to point B. It's going to be bumpy along the way. There might be some wind and some turbulence and whatnot that we might incur. But he's going to see me through. He's going to see me through. Amen. Amen. So what a journey so far that Paul has experienced. No way at all could Paul have planned for this. When things don't go as planned, is life still wonderful when things don't go as planned? Like we're thinking about Paul's voyage. You know, I mean, as a believer, just put yourself in his shoes just for instance. You're just kind of drifting along just in this boat, and the winds and the waves are picking up. It feels hopeless to everyone else, but you're like, but my God, but my God. And you know, he can say it's still a wonderful life even when things don't go as planned. Because our hope, again, is not founded in the boat. Our hope is not founded in the navigational skills of the sailors. Our hope is not founded in the structure of the oars, in the strength of the oars. But our hope is founded in the one who made all things, the one who created all things. Amen. Our hope is found in Jesus. You would think, all right, surely, you know, Paul suffered enough, right? Let the rest of his journey go smoothly. Let it go as planned. Right? Wrong. All right? So let's look at what happens next. And so after Paul is shipwrecked, he goes to this island called Malta. And the villagers are kind to him. They welcome him. They see that he's cold because they all had to jump into the sea, and it's pretty cold. And so they build a fire. And Paul's like, you know what? I'm going to help you guys with this fire. He grabs some wood, not realizing that there was a viper inside of the wood that he grabbed. And so whenever he goes to put the wood into the fire, guess what? The little viper's hanging on his hand for dear life, you know, and it just attached. And you would think, that was surely unplanned. I didn't plan for this, God. You know, if God were to show you all the details and everything that you would encounter in your journey, perhaps you would say, no, I don't want to. You know, I don't want that. Perhaps he would have never appealed to Caesar in the first place if he would have known he had got bitten by a viper. I don't want to get bitten by a viper, do you? I mean, that's not part of the plan. So, and we see this, just to read it for you so that you know that I'm quoting scripture. It says, when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and put them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened to his hand. You know, what I like about Paul is not so much the fact that he goes through all these unplanned things, but the way that he responds to all these different situations. Amen. Paul's response throughout this is just incredible, and I think we can glean from this. And one of the first things that we see, just kind of backtracking, going through this, in verse 7 of chapter 27, it says that we sailed slowly for a number of days. In other words, be patient with the journey. We sailed slow. In other words, it was out of his control to speed the ship up. He couldn't do anything about it. So guess what? He sailed slowly with the rest of the ship, with the rest of the crew. He was patient. We don't like being patient, right? We don't like praying for patience because we know that God's going to make us wait for it. But he would say, the first thing would be, is be patient. Be patient. It's going to happen. It's going to take place. If it's from God, God cannot lie. And so he will bring you from point A to point B to point C to point D. He is faithful. It's going to happen. Be patient. Be patient. The next thing that we see that we can learn from Paul is labor, even when it gets difficult. It says in verse 16 that we managed with difficulty to secure the ship's boat. We managed. But you will manage. You will get through this. You might have to work a little bit. You might have to work a lot. You might have to work with difficulty. You know, there are certain things that God will do, but then there are certain things that you must do, right? And so just to put it in perspective, if God called me to be a pastor of this church, then there are things that I must do. I must get into the Word of God. I must study. I must read. I must pray, spend time in prayer. There are things that I must do. I must make all these pretty little graphics so that we can have them on Sunday morning and bulletins and all these different things. There are things that I must do as a believer, right? And so there are things that you must do. Even whenever if it becomes difficult, guess what? Work. You'll get through this. You're going to manage it, as Paul says. We managed with difficulty. Sometimes you will experience difficulty in your work. You will manage. You will get through it. We know that for God is our source of strength. Whenever it becomes difficult with us, we know that God is right there to give you the strength that you need to help you through it. So even whenever it is difficult and you feel like your body cannot even go further, guess what? God is right there even to strengthen your physical body. I believe this. Amen. Psalms 46 verse 1 says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. He is your refuge and he is your strength. Even when you don't feel like it, when you don't feel like you can make it spiritually, emotionally, physically, he is right there for you. He is right there with you. He is in the boat with you. Amen. Amen. He will not leave you. He will not forsake you. So the first thing is be patient. The second thing is labor even when it is difficult. The next thing is in verse 17, it says, after hoisting it up, they used supports to undergird the ship. Then fearing that they would run along the ground of Syrtis, they lowered the gear and thus were driven along. Since we were violently storm-tossed, they began the next day to jettison the cargo. They did all this because they were expecting a different results. They were expecting change. They were expecting that the work that they were doing was going to affect their journey, right? And so we have to have an expectation that things will change. Amen? So you're going through difficulties right now, but is your expectation in God? God, I believe. I'm believing in you. I don't see it right now, but I'm expecting. I have this heart of expectation, and I know that you will come through each and every time. Then the next thing I want to see in verse 21, since they had been without food for a long time, Paul stood up among them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ships. And so the next thing is that you have to speak to your situation. You have to speak to it. You know, there is power in the tongue. You can speak life or you can speak death in your tongue, in your circumstance, with your mouth. You know, we're always correcting our kids whenever they say, oh, I'm just going to catch diabetes, or I'm going to get cancer. No, you won't, because we're going to declare a better word over your life. We don't receive that. We're not going to speak that into our lives. We're going to believe a better word, amen? We're going to believe that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to believe in the cross, that his blood is powerful enough to bring healing into your body. We're going to stand on the word of God. We're going to speak to our situation, and it's not going to remain the same. You know, whenever you say something, whenever you speak it out, it means that you believe it, right? It means that it's in your heart. And from the abundance of your heart, your mouth begins to speak. Sometimes you just need to rise up and speak over your situation. And let the devil hear it. Let the devil know, I'm still here. I'm still headed where God's bringing me. I'm not distraught by all the storms and all the waves. I'm still heading there. I'm speaking to my situation. My marriage will be thriving. My kids will serve God and they will listen. Amen. And I'm going to speak into this. There's such a power in declaring the word of God over your life. And then probably like one of my favorite things, next what happens in verse 5 of chapter 28, the next chapter, it says this. Again, we're looking at Paul's response. He says, he, however, shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. Sometimes you just got to shake it off, right? You got to shake off that vibe, that thing that's trying to kill you, that thing that's trying to rob you of your joy, that thing that's trying to disrupt your spirituality, that thing that's trying to steal your kids. You just got to shake it off. That trial that has been messing with you, that mindset, whatever it has been that is trying to disrupt your walk with the Lord, you just need to shake it off. You need to shake it off. Come on. You take that viper and shake it off. Throw that thing into the fire. Let that thing burn. We need to shake it off. So we continue just looking at some the ways that Paul responded to this. The next thing I see is that he embraced the unplanned as an opportunity for the miraculous. In verse 8 of chapter 28, it says, it happened that the father of Publius lay sick with fever and dysentery, and Paul visited him and prayed, and putting his hand on him, healed him. So Paul was shipwrecked. He's in this place called Malta, but there's an opportunity for him right there to pray on this man who is sick. An inconvenience, yes. Being shipwrecked, yes. It's such an inconvenience on Paul's life. He's probably wondering, how in the world will I get to Rome? This was the vehicle that God had me on. This was surely the plan. And now this is gone, but yet he seizes the moment as an opportunity to be the extension of God's hand for this man. He prays with him, believes God for him, and God heals him. What if we had this mindset that we become to expect the miraculous in other people's lives, even whenever it's an inconvenience towards us? Even whenever we are facing difficulties of our own, we're like, oh, this is an opportunity to believe God for their life. And then lastly, I would say in verse 15 that Paul thanked God and took courage. Determined, you might be asking, how in the world could Paul thank God after all that has happened to him? How can you, as a believer, thank God after all that has happened to you? He brought you through it. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Amen. He thanked God and he took courage. You know, when things don't go as planned, there's always something you can be thankful for. There's always something you can thank God. God, I thank you for this. You thank him for the past, right? And he took courage for the future. He thanked God for the past, and he took courage for the future. He thanked him for the past, and he took courage for the future. There's always something that we can thank God for, even in the midst of facing all that Paul faced. God, I thank you that I have kids. God, I thank you that you have blessed me with a house. You have blessed me with a wife, a family. I thank you. You have blessed me with a church family. I thank you. You have blessed me. I have food in my belly. I have clothing on my back. There's something that we can thank God for in the midst of all this. Yes, it looks like his situation is all hopes of getting to Rome are gone, but yet I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to be thankful. And you know that the story doesn't end here, that Paul, eventually gets to Rome. He's at Malta. Get it? He's shipwrecked at Malta. And God had already, he had another ship. He had another ship ready. You know, sometimes he might move you from one ship to the next, but other times he might just destroy the ship completely. And that's what he did at Malta. This ship was wrecked and it was destroyed completely, but yet he had yet another ship. It was a ship from Alexandria, and God had that ship from Alexandria at Malta. He was working out the details behind the scenes, even whenever Paul could not see it. God is working on your behalf even whenever you cannot see the details of it. Amen. He will see you through. Amen. He will see you through. And so sometimes, you know, you would think, okay, after this, surely everything is going to be smooth sailing. He thanks God. It just never happens. It's never like the... It's never the good finish. You know, we always want in a movie just a happy ending. Let's just continue just for a moment. It says, from morning till evening. So he finally makes it to Rome, and he's preaching the gospel. He says, from morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus, both from the law of Moses and from the prophets. Some received his message, but others did not. And some were convinced by what he said, but others disbelieved. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed after Paul had made one statement. The Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers and through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. We expect this happy ending. We expect that everything would just go smoothly, and we expect that God would just work in their lives. But what we see is that there were so many who heard the word of God but did not believe. Unplanned. That was the goal all along, to get to Rome to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when he gets there, it falls on deaf ears. So many times we're looking for the results, right? We're looking for fruit of our lives. But here's the thing. Paul must accomplish that which God had called him to do, regardless of what the results that he would see. Because there were some who heard. There were some who received. There were some who believed. And God goes after the some. It's like, I see the ones who hear it and throw it away, but I'm going after the some. God has you right where he wants you, and he's bringing you right to where he wants you to go. And you will impact, even if it's some that will benefit from your life. Know that it is God who's working in the details of your life. When things don't go as planned, we can still say it is a wonderful life because I'm in the hands of the Master. As long as you're in the hands of the Master, as long as you're in his hands, it can be choppy, it can be rough, it can be whatever, but I'm still protected, I'm still in his hands. You're still in his hands this morning. You are here this morning. Life has not conquered you. You are still here this morning. Come on. Whatever you have faced up to this point in your life is irrelevant. He is still on the throne. And he is still committed to you. Amen. And he will see you through it in the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful. Oh, God, when things don't go as planned in our lives, we know that you have a plan. Lord, we rest in your plan, oh, God. It may not go according to our plan, but, Lord, your plan is working in us, is working through us, and working in those around us. And Lord, we will never fully understand all that you have for us
in the situations that we encounter and how you can use that to impact the lives of those around us. But help us to be like Paul, Lord, to walk in this thing, to be blessed, Lord, that we would be patient, Lord, and whenever things are not going as fast as we think it should go. Cause us, oh Lord, to be patient. Lord, for those of us who are just wrestling, God, with this one thing, we ask, help us, Lord, to remain patient. Help us, Lord, even whenever it gets difficult, that we would labor, that we would continue to labor, continue to work, because we know that you are working in us. Help us to expect the change, to expect change around us. Lord, to speak to our situations, to shake it off. Lord, someone needs to shake it off this morning. To embrace the unplanned and determine to be thankful. God, we're truly blessed because we are your children. We're truly blessed because we are in your hands. We're in the hands of the Master. We're in the hands of the greatest sailor. We're in the hands of the one who created us, the one who loves us, the one who gives us plans, the one who gives us identity. We are in your hands. And Lord, we can rest in that this morning. And so we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Yeah.